Bit transmission. Playback commencing in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Bit Transmission, a Destructoid podcast on the past, present, and future of gaming, starring Colette Bennett, Jonathan Holmes, and myself, Conrad Zimmerman. Episode 6. We're joined by Seth Killian to discuss all things Capcom. Due to scheduling, the part of Colette Bennett will be played by Topher Cantler, former Destructoid editor and creator of The Journalism Show. This interview was recorded on April 22nd, 2010. To start things off, Jonathan treats us with a musical number.
Yeah, I'm being kind of a selfish dick. The whole reason I wanted you on the show, Seth,
I'm
telling you this now that's too late for you to leave. I want to audition to be on the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 soundtrack. I heard that there's going to be up to 100 different songs on the soundtrack, which is a huge amount of songs. There might just be room for me to do my rendition of the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 River Stage music, which is some of my favorites. It's one of my favorite songs. Ever written. I mean, as you recall, I'm doing the audition. You ready? I'm gonna do it right now.
I'm so ready.
Okay, deep breath. Okay. Oh, okay. Nobody do cry. No, okay, sorry. Okay, I'm nervous. Okay, one more time. Nobody do dry your eyes. Yeah. Drive me crazy. And I won't let you go. Drive me a bit, a bit, a bit, a bit, a bit. All right, scene.
Yeah, what do you think my chances are?
Just give me a ballpark. Just give me a ballpark. Channel some Simon Cowell on me and just give me some feedback real quick.
Yeah, I was feeling it. And I was still feeling it. Yeah, I was like a lot of little lounge, a little Jim Morrison, a little The Doors. You know, it's.
That was the most polite Simon Cowell impersonation I've ever heard. Thank you, Seth. I appreciate it.
Sorry, I didn't realize it was actually supposed to sound like Simon Cowell.
That's okay. That's okay. You did perfectly. And what are you up to right now? You're calling us right before the Super Street Fighter 4 Fight Club event.
I am. So I'm in, Los Angeles doing a little voice recording for certain games, which may or may not be Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I'm not actually recording the voices. I'm just here to watch much more talented people record the voices. And, then we're also got the Super Street Fighter 4 launch. It's not really a launch party. It's more of just, it really is going to be a lot more like a Fight Club, but it's going to be super rad. So I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of different elements have sort of come together, and we got Daigo Umehara back in from Japan to play some exhibition matches for us with some of our own special guests. So the Japanese champion is here, and we're going to be doing a bunch of very dumb stuff. So we had a few dumb stuff ideas squished by our boss, but most of them got through. And we're going to...
You know what? I gotta say, I love how much stuff Capcom does now that never happened when I was growing up. The amount of merchandise you put out, promotional merchandise, the amount of events you have. You may call it dumb stuff, but I've just seen the company blow up in terms of the way you interact with the fans over the past few years, and I've been so impressed with it.
Dude, it makes me really happy, so thank you. But it's not that hard for me because I grew up with the same Capcom you did. We weren't doing anything fun, so this is like my revenge on old Capcom. It's like, now I get to try and make Capcom do all the stuff that I wish it had done when I was around. So, yeah, we have a good time. We have a good time. And there's what you guys know as well as anybody, that there's nothing more fun than, like, hanging out with some fans and people that like the same stuff you do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Is there anything you want to tell us about Street Fighter 4 before it comes out? What, next week? Awesome. I know people are asking. People specifically wanted to know what the bonus is going to be for having a Street Fighter 4 save on your hard drive when you boot up Super Street Fighter 4 for the first time. Has that been announced already?
Yeah, it sort of slipped out amidst the flood of information from Captivate. So we just had that Captivate event. And yeah. Ono-san mentioned it when he was talking about the tournament mode DLC. So that's free DLC that's coming. But really the bonus is just basically you get some special shaders that you can use on your characters. And shader is not an exciting word. And I don't want to pretend like this is the most jaw-dropping bonus of all time. I think Ono-san may have oversold it a little bit at certain points. But it's definitely cool. So if you played Street Fighter 4 on PC or saw those ink filters they had there, it's got that inky filter for every character and also a new pencil sketch kind of filter. So you can see sort of a sketched over pencil-y line. Kind of
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's not, you know, it's not like a world beater, but it's definitely cool. So,
well, considering the game is $40 and it's everything the other game was plus so much more to throw in anything new.
That's kind of my feeling. There's not really, unless you really played a lot of time attack mode or something like that, that's like the only thing I could think of that's like worse in Street Fighter 4 than the original Street Fighter 4. Otherwise, it's got just more of literally everything. It's got fun stuff like the bonus stages. The online stuff is way better. So yeah, it's a pretty sweet package. I'm pretty proud of everything that was able to come together in just over a year.
I'm going to, I don't know. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I actually didn't get that excited about Street Fighter 4 when it first came out. I was kind of disappointed, to be honest. You know, I've been a lifelong Street Fighter fan, even from the first game with the red-haired Ryu and the, you know, single button attack mode. But a big thing I love about Street Fighter is, or at least Street Fighters of the past, is the two-dimensional sprite work. I love sprite artwork. So to see that gone, it really was a blow for me when Street Fighter 4 came out. But Super Street Fighter 4 has totally pulled me back in. So
have you mistaken it for sprite work? Because it's not. I don't want to be responsible for misleading you.
I think it took me a couple of years to you know, deal with the pain and the loss of the sprite work, and throwing in so many characters that I loved from past Street Fighter games totally worked to suck me back into it. Ibuki, Guy, Makoto especially, and the new characters are awesome. I'm so impressed with the character design on both Juri and, do you pronounce it Hakan? Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah. Seeing him dump oil all over his body and slip around the stage like that.
I think about half the internet agrees with you. The other half thinks you're an idiot. So they're the worst designs ever. They're stolen from SNK. So everybody seems wrong SNK for the Street Fighter universe until you get used to it.
I feel like the Street Fighter if there's an aesthetic style of Street Fighter that's been consistent, it's the perfect mix of reality and out of left field bizarre ideas. And what's better than you got white hair that's shaped kind of like giant coins and he dumps oil all over his body? I mean, that's right. That's Blanca Dalsum. That's the exact same feel. So
I couldn't agree more. I mean, he's, you know, Street Fighter has some characters that take themselves really pretty seriously and some that definitely are on the sillier side of the spectrum. And I think that's, you know, that's also part of why the game stuck around so long, is that they're archetypes, you know? You have to be over the top to be an archetype. You can't just be like, you know, Mr. Cool or play it safe with yet another karate dude or something like that. So I was really happy to see that, you know, they got the whole oil wrestling concept, which everybody was worried about internally when we were first kicking around. And it really came together, and it even, you know, it's incorporated into his gameplay, and he's a lot of fun. So I'm really happy.
Yeah. I can't wait. About Marvel vs. Capcom 3, we've gotten a lot of questions about that.
The internet is interested in that game, yes.
That's right. And non-internet people, too. You know, people that I've been telling everybody I know because I'm like that. You know, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is coming out, and these are people that don't follow gaming news, and even they are getting excited. I mean, that was a game that even if you didn't have a home console, if you went to a pizza place or you left the house and went anywhere where you might see an arcade game, you're probably going to be familiar with it. So I think more than just the internet's excited about it. What are you willing to tell us about it, though? I mean, I could ask you questions about it all day, but mostly people want to know, is the system going to be similar in Marvel vs. Capcom 2? Are there going to be characters from Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Tatsunoko vs. Capcom? People have been asking that. People have been asking, is there going to be Marvel vs. Capcom 3 on the Wii, or is the Tatsunoko vs. Capcom series over now? Because
all right, okay. Pick one question, we'll start there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a long list. I don't even know. My head is spinning.
Yeah, people are excited. So, what can you tell us about the fighting system of the game?
It is going to be 3-on-3 combat, and there's some very cool stuff in store. So we'll be getting into sort of what makes sort of Marvel, or one of the key things that makes Marvel 3 totally different from, unique experience from Marvel 2. I shouldn't say it's totally different, because fans of Marvel 2 are not going to be alienated by 3. It's a new game, so there's new stuff happening, but, you know, the idea isn't to take those fans and confuse and horrify them. Those are our people, so we want to make them happy. And the fighting system is definitely cool. And we'll be talking more about how the other characters work in terms of assists and the tag kind of mechanics and things like that as well. But I don't know. I mean, it sounds stupid coming from me, but it's awesome. Like, it's really good. I'm really proud of the way things are headed right now. So, you know, who knows? Something will go wrong and we'll break the balance and nobody will play the game ever. But we're trying. So far, it's really good.
To hear you talk about it like it's an actual game is really exciting to me, because to me it's just a trailer right now. But it sounds like you might have actually played a build of it. Is that right?
Oh, maybe just for a few hundred hours. Yeah, no, I played a little bit of Marvel vs. Capcom 3. It's it is sweet. Yeah.
How many characters do they have implemented at this point? Ballpark.
Right now there's about 30 characters, but I get upset because I keep hearing people say, like, oh, there's 30 characters in the game. I'm like, well, yes, but they're also going to keep adding characters until we're done with the game. So
there's 30 characters right now already?
There are, but they're not all done. So that's they're at various stages. Some of them are pretty rudimentary. So, just sort of having a character in the game isn't necessarily that significant. But some are pretty far along. Others, still have a long way to go.
Wow. Okay, I have a question on that note. This is very important. Can we get some Hinata from rival schools back here?
You want some more rival schools?
I want Hinata from rival schools.
very specific.
Specific about that, yeah. How about any rival schools? I know you got to be vague and general on these, Seth, for the most part. So can you give us a warm or cold on any rival schools characters being in the game?
You're not cold, but I don't know if that could really promise anybody from rival. You just had Batsu, man. He's just in Tatsunoko.
Oh, and I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong.
I saw her.
I saw her. She was there.
I know. It's possible. It happened.
Speaking of that, the Tatsunoko versus Capcom characters, I've got some disgruntled Wii fans that are like, so they're just taking the game that I bought on the Wii, or bought a Wii in order to play Tatsunoko versus Capcom, or are they going to take all that stuff and put it into Marvel versus Capcom 3 now, essentially making Tatsunoko versus Capcom worthless? They're actually kind of pissed that Marvel versus Capcom 3 might be really good.
Well, if that's going to piss you off, you should be pissed, because it is really good. But no, we're not, definitely not sort of evacuating Tatsunoko. They're quite different games. There's really, it's hard for me to even understand that idea. Having seen Marvel 3 and having, obviously played a lot of Tatsunoko, that idea almost doesn't even make sense to me. So no,
really?
You're not going to have everything that you liked about Tatsunoko sucked out and put on another platform. But in general, I stay away from sort of platform debates. I can be proud of Capcom's track record. Generally, I think we're pretty aggressive about supporting a lot of different platforms. And I think particularly on the Wii, we've been pretty good. So,
oh, absolutely.
A lot of the other publishers have moved away from it, and we're still there. So, I was happy to have Tatsunoko there. Monster Hunter is pretty cool. That just came out as well. So I think we got some of the best looking Wii games and some of the most fun, especially for sort of core gamer kind of games on the Wii. Capcom's done a good job, but you know, right now no plans for Marvel 3 on the Wii.
Okay. How's Capcom been in terms of how do you feel about how the games you've put on the Wii have done? I was really hoping Tatsunoko vs. Capcom would do well, and I've heard that Capcom was happy with it, but you know, I'm not totally confident until I hear, you know, something official from somebody like yourself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I have any official, you know, I don't know if there's an official Capcom happiness meter or something, but yeah, it certainly beat all the initial expectations. It didn't set any land speed records, but it was a success, and that's really saying something considering we're talking about a game that was not only never coming out in America, but has a first, you know, its title is something most people can't even pronounce, and then even after they do pronounce it, they don't know what you're talking about, and then they don't care. They're also like, now I'm bored, and I want to go look at something else. So, Tatsunoko was definitely a success.
Oh, that's a relief. That's great. Where was I going to go with that? Well, we haven't talked about Bionicle. You know, I'm fighting the urge to ask you how much did it sell and how happy are you and is the sequel coming out? But I know you can't answer those questions. So,
yeah, they don't really talk about that stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. How about Bionic Commando Rearmed 2? I've heard people, and by people, I mean myself, say, is this going to be like playing soccer with your hands, basically? If you can jump in Bionic Commando, why call it Bionic Commando? It's jumping guy with a bionic arm now. Or am I wrong?
I'm hoping we'll prove you wrong. If I can allay any fears, I don't know. Do you guys remember Simon Vicklund from Bionic Commando 1?
Oh, sure.
I don't know how well known he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the creative director on the project and did all the soundtrack and stuff like that. He's still leading up Bionic Commando Rearmed 2. So he's the head guy on this one as well. So obviously you can tell his deep, deep love for this franchise, like almost fanatical love for the original Bionic Commando, which really came through in Bionic Commando Rearmed. So if anything, I guess I could just point at that guy and say, like, he's not going to murder your childhood.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're all afraid of the jump, but it does, all I can say, I mean, what we're talking about here also is not like, it's not like a Super Mario Brothers kind of platformer. I mean, I love my Super Mario Brothers. It's just, it's not that kind of, you know, you're not going to be constantly jumping anything like that. And there's really a lot of fun stuff. It's the game looks just sharper in almost every way. And there's a lot of really fun new weapons and new techniques. And this Bionic Commando, it's about the grappling. So don't worry.
Yeah, I'm sold. And just the idea of a new Bionic Commando, as much as I love Rearmed, I was still comparing it to the original, you know, throughout playing it. I couldn't help it. But to have an all-new Bionic Commando, especially the year that Simon Vicklund's involved, that guy is insane. I met him 2 years ago. He was like, I sleep on the floor and I think about Bionic Commando. Then
he's
I wake
kidding.
Up and then I think Bionic Commando. Yeah, he was the only I could. I thought I was one of the biggest Bionic Commando fans ever, but he completely put me to shame in terms of knowing everything about the series and having played the Game Boy Color version and all that. He was all about it. He mentioned to me he was hoping that he could do a sprite-based Bionic Commando at some point, because we talked a lot about how when you're in 3D, sometimes it's harder to do pixel-perfect stuff. I mean, not 3D, but polygon-based graphics. It's harder to do pixel-perfect stuff than with, you know, low-res sprites. And he was all for putting Bionic Commando on every console he could, every type of graphics. He was really passionate about it, so it's exciting.
Yeah, I'm a nut for that kind of stuff too. Like, the very precision kind of touches. That's actually a lot of what I do on the Street Fighter games, is try and preserve that kind of thing. Which, again, initially when we first started out with Street Fighter 4, wasn't really. It was soft. It was lacking some of that pixel perfect stuff that you want. But I just wanted to testify and say you can actually get it done with 3D models. You just have to fudge it a little bit, which is. You don't actually use the models as the collision. You can do collision apart from the models. So This is getting a little inside baseball, and maybe it's just the wrong kind of nerdy, but yeah, you can you can fudge it with the way the collision works and use 2D collision system.
Oh, really?
Even with 3D models, yeah. That was actually Street Fighter, because initially it played wrong. That's all I can say. It didn't feel like a Street Fighter, and the collision boxes were all mapped to the 3D models. And that changed, so we pushed reboot in the middle and went back to the 2D hitboxes, and I think it's what it helped preserve a lot of the Street Fighter feeling. So, maybe I'll
sounds like you kind of
doing something like that.
It sounds like you might have saved Street Fighter 4 from being like an EX game in a way. Not that the EX games are terrible, but you know, there's definitely lack of.
I agree. Yeah, I actually do think the EX games are pretty fun, but they don't feel like Street Fighter games to me. I think they're fun games. They just don't seem very Street Fighter-y to me. We dodged that bullet with Street Fighter 4. So,
you know, speaking of that, I've been in a big debate with people about whether games feel like Mega Man games or not, and it's so nerdy to even say that I, you know, I'm that passionate about Mega Man, but I am. And when I play Mega Man 8, I'm like, this is good, but it's not really a Mega Man game. It's just a really good game, but it's not right. Whereas when I play Mega Man 9 and 10, it's back to that. And they actually, I don't know, I wanted to ask you about this, Seth. Did you know that that fans in Japan remade Mega Man 7 and Mega Man 8 in the kind of NES style?
Yeah, I've seen some of that. I haven't played it since, of course, it's, that would be illegal. But,
can you make it legal?
Yes, I'm aware of this project, yeah. And, right, if I was less worried about the law, I would probably
make it legal
several times.
You're right. But what do you think the chances of Capcom being able to put those games out or something like that? Because I love the remake idea so much, and Capcom seems keen on doing remakes now and again with an HD remix and whatnot. You think they'd ever remake Mega Man 7 and Mega Man 8 with the old graphics?
I would not put anything past those guys, especially now that they've got their old-timey 8-bit engine up and cranking. The possibilities are limitless.
That's all I needed to hear. That's fantastic.
That's what I got.
How's Mega Man 10 meeting expectations? Is Capcom happy? You have the happy button for that one?
You know what? I haven't seen the sales on Mega Man 10 in a while, just because right when that game came out, just for me personally, the crazy – everything went haywire with the different stuff I'm working on at work all at once. But it did pretty well right out of the gates, so I haven't seen past the first week, but the first week was certainly a big success.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
It's always a relief to me. Such a jerk. I mean, there's some developers I root for, kind of regardless. Like, I don't know what it is about me, but I've been rooting for Capcom. Even when there's the occasional Capcom game I don't really like, but I still want it to sell well.
That's weird, nice. Sort of. I appreciate that. I mean, they can't all be solid gold, but, you know, we try. And, I also like that Capcom's willing to fail sometimes, too, so. Or at least take interesting chances. Like, I don't know how Ghost Trick's going to do, but I think that game's super awesome. And Okami Den is also, like, if you like old school Zelda games, it's super good. And it's adorable and controls better than any game I've played on the DS. It's really a good game. I'm really proud of it. But I really like Ghost Trick just because it's got that kind of Capcom stink on it, where it's like... No other company would ever make a game this stupid where, like, the main character dies, like, in the first scene. And, same thing with, like, Ace Attorney. I mean, I think we've talked about this before. Like, Ace Attorney just makes me proud to be at Capcom because, you know, it's not my favorite Capcom game of all time, but the fact that it exists and is, like, a franchise at Capcom and we keep making them, I'm pretty proud of that just because it's, you know, like a text-based lawyer sim on the DS with, like, you know, doesn't really sound like... like a winner, but anybody who plays that game has a good time, and
I was actually having a
Western developer in a million billion years. So,
well, that's something else I wanted to ask. Is I keep hearing Capcom bigwigs talk about being more Western, and I'm seeing that, like Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the graphic design style definitely looks more Western than Marvel vs. Capcom 2 did, and I like that. that Capcom's doing new things, but it also kind of scares me that the company may not stay the same. I mean, basically just scared of change, but I love the Japanese-ness of so many Capcom games, and I'd hate for that to go away. What's your inside info on that? Should I be scared?
You should not, and not because Capcom is such brilliant businessmen that they wouldn't abandon the things that you love. Even if the reason you shouldn't be scared is that even if Capcom did want to do that and tried, they would fail because the company is so Japanese, they don't know how to not be Japanese. So even when we try to not be Japanese, it doesn't really work out, and it comes out some sort of weird, you know, weird in between place, which I think is really fun. So I really am at my happiest when Capcom tries to make sort of Western style games, because it's sort of like running a sentence in Japanese through Google Translate into English and then back into Japanese or something again. And like what you started with and what you end up with is not quite the same thing. So that's kind of the effect of Capcom trying to make Western games.
Yeah, so I was actually – I flew into a rage – I think it was last year I flew into a rage, a nerd rage. I picked up my computer and then I put it back down with rage. I want to pronounce his name right. Inafune,
yes.
Inafune said that, oh, Dead Rising was kind of, it was good, but it was like a Japanese tasting hamburger. We don't want our burgers to be so Japanese tasting. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. I love your Japanese tasting burgers. That's what I grew up on those goddamn burgers.
Yeah,
you're giving me burgers. Burger. Yeah, I don't want them to stop making those burgers.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You know, the good thing about – or the thing about Capcom Japan is, again, they don't – they only know what Japanese-flavored burgers taste like. So they're sort of unable to get too far away from it. And I think that's a good thing, even if they would like to get totally Western.
They just can't.
They fail. Like, they aim at it and they're like – you should see the lists of what they think like Westerners really like. It's nuts. And like, you know, like we'll hear from like the Mega Man team. Like when we started doing a bunch of stuff around 9, I got a note from one of the assistant producers on the project, and it was just like, I have to say, like, we're all really excited to find out that people in the West like Mega Man. This is unbelievable. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding me. Like, they just had no, you know, they have no clue. So there's a lot of, you know, very talented and smart people in Japan, but they're in the Capcom Japan. Japan as a whole, I'm sure, has plenty of smart people too. But even when they try and be Western and, you know, they'll say things like, oh, you know, someone from outside of Japan would never get this joke. And it's like, I totally get this joke. Don't worry about it. It works. So
you're encouraging them to continue to do what they're doing. Well, that's a relief too.
Yeah, do your worst, guys, because it's still going to come out weird. So.
And about Mega Man, I know you probably can't answer this, but can we expect, if you had to guess, will the next Mega Man game on a home console be Mega Man 11, or do you think it might be something else?
Oh, the problem here is, of course, that I don't have to guess. I know,
so you
I know the answer to that question. But,
all right, so something's going on. All right.
Capcom has not forgotten about Mega Man, and there will indeed be something going on.
On home consoles? Because the DS is kind of a given that there's going to be, you know, a new Star Force or something at any time. But the home consoles, people have harassed me for forever to ask you, is it going to be Legends 3? Is it going to be something totally new? Is it going to be, you know, X? People really want X10, as you've probably heard, in 16-bit. You know, the request for Mega Man fans for me to bug you is pretty much off the charts.
Well,
so
anything? Yeah, I get branded as the Street Fighter guy, which is, you know, that's fair. But,
well, the Mega Man 9 question kind of turned you into the Mega Man guy.
Well, no, but I really am the Mega Man guy. I've played more Mega Man games, certainly, than I have Street Fighter games. I mean, that's kind of easy because there's so many more. But I have played a lot of Mega Man many, many times. Well, I'm a huge Mega Man fan. Whatever. I don't need to run through that whole thing. What I'll say, actually, to answer the question is I think Mega Man may have some surprises in store for everybody. So some surprises yet. Is that gloriously vague?
I totally want I want that part of your job where all I have to say to people is, you know, there may be something exciting in store. And it
yeah,
may be
no, but it's good. And, you know, I don't want to say nobody's seeing it coming, but somebody may see it coming.
Do I see it coming?
When I heard about the project, I was like, holy crap, that's rad. So I'm really looking forward to I actually have not seen what's going on with any of the anything in the future right now, but the idea was exciting.
Huh. Do you think there might be anything at E3 about that?
Oh no, I mean this is still sort of kicking around as a concept, so.
Right.
But there are exciting ideas in the Mega Man space, so.
That's great. Any of them, you mentioned Natal and now it's called the PlayStation Move. It wasn't even named last time we asked about it, but he said Capcom was working on something with those two devices. Are those projects still moving forward? Is there anything you can tell us about them?
Yeah, there isn't, unfortunately, but they, you know, Capcom is usually a big supporter of, new tech and things like that. So we will have some interesting stuff, I think, on those fronts. I have no involvement with any of that or an only sort of dim awareness, but, you know, knowing us, expect something. I think we're going to be, ahead of the pack as far as what might be offered on those kind of platforms. I think we'll be at the forefront.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's, again, I hate these questions. You got to give me one.
I know.
I just want Hinata, man. Seriously. Like,
that all this please? Is? Just came here to hassle me about Hinata.
Yeah, pretty much.
I kind of want a Morrigan game. Is that possible, Seth? Because you think about Morrigan. Well, I counted how many Darkstalkers games there are, and if you stretch it, there's like 3.5, right? There's one, there's second one, then the third one kind of got split into two releases.
Right. Yeah.
But if you count how many games, yeah, is that fair? Okay. But
Morrigan kind of counts almost.
Yeah. Well, she was in Gunbird too. Yeah. One and two, Topher, or just?
I don't know if she's in one. I'm not real familiar with one. I know she's in two. I play that a lot.
Yeah, I love Gunbird too. So she's in that. She's in Cross Edge on the PS3. She's in.
Has anybody played that? I never played it.
Cross Edge? Yeah, I played it.
It looked confusing.
It wasn't confusing. It was a nothing really happened. I mean, the Morrigan graphics were good. honestly, I paid $60 just because I'm a devotee of the character. The game's not that good, though. Yeah, I think we gave it like 5 or something. But my point is, she's in, I'd say, I can't think of a crossover game past Marvel vs. Capcom, the first one, that Morrigan didn't show up in. So she's definitely a high-profile character who people like, but she's never gotten her own game. You think it's possible?
You know what? I actually would say, you know, it's potentially possible. Like, she does have that kind of resonance, and she does, I mean, given the success of most of the other Darkstalkers, she's, really head and shoulders above the rest of the crew in terms of, crossover appeal. But I mean, you know, you think about, like, Breath of Fire, like, that little red demon got his own game. Come on. Like, Morrigan's bigger stuff than him, so.
Oh, you mean the Ghosts and Goblins demon now?
Yes.
Don't you? Okay.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
We're going to edit that out, Seth.
What did I say?
I don't know what you said. I think you said something about Ghosts and Goblins, absolutely. Yeah, people have been bugging me, too, about a new Demon's Crest. I mean, it's amazing.
I would love another game featuring Firebrand, actually. That's one of my favorites.
Did I say Breath of Fire?
You might have.
You did. It's all right. He breathes fire. It's a Freudian slip. That's all right.
Wow, shame. Don't edit that out. I'll take that. I'm up 20 hours a day every day, so I make no apologies for anything that comes out of my mouth.
Yeah, somebody in our comment section, like, feels so good about themselves. John Bloodspray, he says, ask Seth why he thought the first Street Fighter was a brawler. He said at PAX East that everyone was like, dude, he obviously knows, but then I got back in the hotel and I interneted that shit, and bam! I told you guys it was a fighter! Like, he actually all caps to be like, bam! I know Capcom better than Seth Killian. Give me a job. You know, he's like, oh.
what did I blow that I claimed Street Fighter 1 was a brawler?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't even really know what that means, but it would be, I don't know. I mean, if he's...
I feel like you're like the fastest gun in the West, and Capcom fans that wish they were you are like ready to shoot you in the back at any
fair
moment.
Enough,
to
fair enough. Well, I'm happy that anyone could even mistake me for that guy, because I'm, you know, whatever. I guess I know a lot of stuff about Capcom, but there's the collected power of the internet plus the collected power of those guys. You know, I bow before it all the time, so I don't want to mess with that guy. He's got the drop on me for sure, and I really am like so exhausted. All that. I feel like I haven't slept in like months, so I don't even know what the hell I'm saying half the time.
You're doing great. I think it's,
you scare me with all these questions where I'm like, you know, like, wait, did I just reveal something? Whoops.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't kind of doing that on purpose.
No, I know your job, and my job is to deflect it, but I'm weak.
No, you've done great. I think one time you didn't totally deny that Bass was going to be in Mega Man 10, and that like made my week. I was like, I kind of got him to say maybe. Yes, I'm a journalist now. Awesome.
Yeah, you got us.
Yeah.
Well played, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I feel like you never get to get me to screw up and then profit off it.
That's not my business. So I'm not sure where the profit comes in for me, but I guess I like to get people to screw up at Street Fighter, but beyond that, you know, I like when everybody gets along and does things right.
Yeah, me too. And that's the thing. I mean, people may want to take you down a notch, but it's really because they love you. And they, there's
a
Capcom.
I don't think that's right, but yeah.
I try to look
sure
at
they don't all love me, but hey, you know, that's what keeps it fun. Take me down a notch, so bring it on. I got it coming. I got a lot of things coming karmically. Like someone slapped me in the face at PAX. We'll call it a slap. And out of nowhere.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a long night, but you know, karmically, you know, in one sense, that's a very unfortunate thing to have happen. It wasn't even like a crazy internet fan either. It was like a bum or something.
Was it the $9 one arm push up guy?
There we go. Yeah. It might have been him.
John remembers that guy. We had a nice conversation with that gentleman.
Yeah, I paid a man $9, not $10. He gave me a dollar.
Yeah, he didn't
change.
Ask for $10. He gave us a discount. It's $9.
He did, what was it, 40 push-ups with one arm? Is that right, Topher?
Yeah, 40 push-ups with one arm while smoking a Dutch Master.
Wow.
That's right. For $9.
The smoking Olympics, yes. Like, I didn't really watch the Olympics, but I would watch the Olympics if everyone was smoking, like, while they were doing exactly the same boring sports. Especially, like, the swimming. You'd have, like, a special helmet, and it would fill up with smoke, and I don't know. This is not a funny joke, but I really enjoyed the idea of smoking Olympics.
I want that to be a game, because I don't like Olympics games, even if they have Mario and Sonic in them. But if everyone was smoking, and I had to press a button to keep them filled with nicotine, I'd totally sign up for that.
Yeah.
You work at Capcom, man. Right. Make it happen.
Watch replays. I don't think we have the rights to the Olympics.
Ah, that's right. Well, maybe next year. People have wanted to know what took so long to get the rights. See what I did there? Segue. For Marvel vs. Capcom 3, there's angry fans that said 10 years is too long, and I think they also just want to hear about if it was a mess to get the rights back and all that stuff. Is there anything you can speak about that?
Sure. I mean, it was a monumental mess. So this has been, you know, I think Marvel has been impressed with the games that Capcom has made. They know we made some good games for them. But obviously, Marvel is a very different company now than they were when we were making games for them initially. So, you know, 1999, I'm not sure when they had the bankruptcy. Maybe in the mid-90s or something. But, you know, back in the middle and late 90s, they were still just a comic book company, right? Like, that's what Marvel was. And now they're, you know, this giant global entertainment superstar thing that's, you know, up there with, like, your Pixars or your Disney. Well, now they are Disney.
Yeah, they are Disney. But their movies are doing phenomenally.
They're monstrous now. So, you know, obviously there's more competition, more money involved, more, you know, the stakes are much higher, basically. Right. But they know we made great games, but, you know, this project has been at least in proposal form, not the specifics of the project, but at least like, hey, let's make another one of these games. It's been kicking around for, as I don't know, before I started working at Capcom as a contract.
Really?
I would say close to 5 years, maybe.
Wow, so, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a slow crawl to try and to get it up and running. But, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of it in the biz world, which I will now talk about as though I know something about it, which is sort of false, but it's a lot of things come down to timing. You know, both companies have to be in sort of the right place at the right time and be looking for the same thing. So maybe Marvel is interested in a game, but we don't have any development resource slots open in their window or, you know, things like that. But, right time, right place. You know, we're super happy to be doing it. Marvel's been great. They really helped make it seem like a Marvel game. So that was the thing about Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is there's Marvel characters, but there's really no, I mean, the backgrounds are all insane places that are not from any,
like the clown and the river.
Yeah, like, yeah. What is that? What comic is that from?
The river.
I don't know. Yeah. And there's like no story. It just says thank you for playing and then you're out. So, I mean, the whole thing is sort of underbaked, at least as far as the Marvel elements went. You know, the gameplay was fantastic, but the Marvel elements really weren't there. And so they've done a great job of really helping get a lot more of those in there in a big way. So I think as we go forward and show us more characters and show some more of those touches, I don't know, that people are going to be blown away, like, at some of the stuff that they've done. It's really awesome / hilarious / has great references to super core stuff from games and super core stuff from comics. And
awesome.
Yeah, it's really serious stuff.
I was worried, honestly, that I heard that Marvel was heavily involved this time. And one of the things I loved about Marvel vs. Capcom and the whole Versus series before is that it took Marvel characters that I liked but depicted them in a style that I loved, which was the kind of Capcom house 2D fighter graphic style. Those artists are just some of my favorites. And a lot of American comic book artists feel the same way. Joe Maguire, I think that's how you pronounce his name, he actually named some of his characters after Capcom artists in his comic Battle Chasers.
You probably know. Yeah, Akiman and Bengus, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like Capcom kind of shaped the way American comics went in terms of art style. There was a whole shift towards trying to draw more like Capcom characters, and Udon, of course, is keeping it up now. But to see Marvel vs. Capcom 3 almost look like the way comics that aren't copying the Capcom style look, at first it kind of threw me for a loop, so to speak. But what you just told me reassures me that it's still going to feel like a Capcom game, and there's going to be references to Capcom characters and beyond just kind of the ones that would fit with Marvel and kind of rambling.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I, you know.
Mega Man?
What's
can
that?
I get Mega Man? Is Mega Man going to be in it? Kind of? Maybe? Amingo? How about Amingo?
Hard enough?
I really have. Me and Nick Jester and like the whole staff of Destructoid just stayed up looking at those outlines for at least 3 hours, 4 hours.
Pretty well, I can't say whether you did good or you're totally wrong. All of them are wrong. I realize
there's a
firm characters or something, so yeah.
There's a completely heated debate. It's still going on. One guy is saying that's the dreaded Dormammu, who's Doctor Strange's nemesis. I'm totally just telling
about Doctor Strange, so I don't know why.
You know about Doctor Strange too? I'll say, you know, the dreaded Dormammu. You know,
I grew up, like, I didn't have a comic book store near me, so I'd just buy comics at 7-Eleven, and the only things they would get were, like, Doctor Strange and West Coast Avengers, both of which sucked. But that's
what I've read a lot. Just, like, no, I know about
bit
that.
Knowledge of, like, Hawkeye and, you know, a bunch of crazy Doctor Strange and West Coast Avenger losers.
So are you saying Dormammu and Ghost Rider have just as good of a chance to be in Marvel vs. Capcom 3?
That would be overstating it, I think. Those are both insane characters, but there's some – Doctor Strange is always – you know, you never see him coming. I certainly never saw Tuma Graf coming in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And that's actually the most popular characters in Japan. They love him, even though I think it might have been Chris Baker from Marvel was saying, I think Capcom has done more with Shuma Gorath than Marvel ever did just by putting him in one game.
Yeah, I'd never seen him before, that game. And then I looked him up.
He's been in a lot of games now, but...
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's... as I suspected, you're leaving all my worries about Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yeah, I know everyone's... I was hanging around with some of the Street Fighters, and they sent me a link to this picture. It's not going to be a funny story, because now I can't remember what it's called, or the specifics, but it was called Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Bingo. And it was basically like a bingo board of like crappy things that might be true about Marvel versus Capcom 3. Or like a 16x16 grid of like ways that Capcom is probably going to like ruin the game.
Oh my God.
Just some awful, you know, some stupid thing that we would do that would ruin it. And I was like looking at it and I was like, oh, this is awesome because I'm not worried about any of this stuff. So I was really, you know, that was just a new way for me to think about it. Like, here's what everybody's worried about and I'm not. You know, I don't have to worry about it.
Right. Well, that's a relief. I'm going to look that up as soon as I can after this. I wanted to ask you what was the most violent thing that ever happened to you in terms of a real-life encounter that involved Street Fighter. I wanted to tell my own story about it, selfishly, but I wanted to hear yours, too.
The most violent thing that ever happened to me in real life?
Yeah, like I'll tell my story just to...
You prime the pump here.
Break the ice. So I used to hang out at a local arcade, the Acton Bolodrome. You guys should all go there. It's a great place. And I was friends with the owner's two younger sons. Really nice guys. But one of them, he was really into Street Fighter, and he'd also been growing a lot. Like he just suddenly got really muscular, so we were always wondering what was going on with him hormonally. And I had just figured out that whatever build of Street Fighter it was, I think it was maybe Hyper Fighting, if you do like a jab and then into a fierce shoryuken, it like does tons of damage. So I just kept doing that to him. And I killed him. And he just looked at me. And I smiled, you know, trying to be like, you know, you own the place, though, so you can play this game all you want. I beat you off to my own quarter, so hooray. And he just punches me in the chest with, like, full strength, and this kid's huge, so I go flying. He just stands over me and goes, "That's power." And walks away. And I have to go to gym class with this kid the next day, and I'm, you know, how am I going to look him in the eye after he basically attacked me because I did the jab into Fear Shoryuken trick to him too many times. At his own goddamn arcade. I mean, it's not like he had to pay any money for his game, but the rage that Street Fighter can inspire in people, I've been taken aback by it ever since.
Yeah, people get upset. I mean, I guess...
You got slapped in the face at PAX. It's kind of what made me...
Well, yeah, there's some stories. I've been in lots of crazy... unfortunate violent situations before, but Street Fighter, I think I've seen plenty of fights break out and stuff like that, although not really anymore. They were sort of, that's back in the arcade days. So, right. But there were a lot of situations where, you know, we'd play people for money, and, you know, when you're not on your home turf, it's a pretty tense situation because you'd be, you know, sometimes hundreds of miles away from home or in other states or whatever, and, you know, you just came into these people's arcade, you know, their stomping grounds and took their money. That can be pretty dicey. So sometimes you'd have to be like, whisper under your breath, like, start the car, like go outside and start the car. We better get out of here in a hurry. But, I had a guy pull a knife on me once, but he didn't actually stab me. So maybe that doesn't count. I don't know.
That counts. That's psychological violence, to say the least. I mean, I've been mugged. I consider that violence. So you were almost stabbed over. And this is when you were just playing competitively, or was this what after you started working for Capcom?
No. So the people that play competitively, you don't usually have to worry about. I mean, at tournaments and stuff like that, I've never had a violent incident, but. You know, people get upset, but not violent. And, but this was back in arcades. So this was, you know, I don't know when this was, 12, 15 years ago, something like that.
That makes sense. I wish arcades would come back. Is that just me being old, or Or did you sense something?
Being old, I don't think that's going to happen.
but they could, though.
It's okay. I'm old, too. I like to think that way, but yeah.
I don't know. When I was at PAX, there was this – and I'd never been to a PAX before PAX East, so I'm ashamed about that. But there was this – I don't know, this sense of camaraderie, all the stuff you – I don't even need to tell you guys because you were – you sense it, too, that you don't get online. You get something with other people in the room you don't get online. And I wonder if somebody could capitalize on that, Seth Killian, who works for Capcom.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, you know, I couldn't agree more. So I thought arcades were rad, not just because of, like, you know, retro goggles and being like, wow, those games were, you know, like Tron the game was super – actually, Tron kind of sucks. That was my we were thinking back about, like, retro goggles games from the arcade and, like, all these games were like, no, that game was actually really fun and whatever. And I was feeling like Tron was the game that people remember most fondly versus how fun it actually is. Like, it's actually a pretty frustrating game and, like,
yeah,
kind of like four bad mini games. Anyway, regardless of Tron, arcades were rad. And it wasn't just that it was, you know, it wasn't just this nostalgia. I think a lot of people that didn't grow up in arcades or haven't really experienced them in a regular way tend to think that it's just like, oh, you know, it's just whatever. That's like my parents liked, you know, going to, I don't know what parents
say, sock hops
or something. Yeah, there we go.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's super legit. So that's why for me at Capcom, we've always been huge believers on, you know, on the community side of just having as many live events as we can and like getting people together. And also like the Evo Street Fighter, well, it's all the fighting, Evo fighting game tournaments was the same thing. Like literally when we started that, the idea was, arcades are awesome, but they're sort of disappearing, and we want to have a reason to have everybody get together and have that same kind of feeling in the room, and there's that kind of, like, passion and excitement. And, you know, you see a flavor of the same kind of thing at PAX, and you're exactly right. I mean, that kind of connection just, it doesn't come through online, and that's not because, you know, I don't think there's some sort of magic. I just think there's a lot more information coming off from real people. It's obviously a very different kind of engagement, and it's really powerful and super rad, so I want as much of it as I can get. And that's also why I'm on the road all the time. But it's the same thing with the Street Fighter party tomorrow. So
if you had the power, would you open up a Capcom arcade somewhere?
I mean, Capcom's actually gone the other way and closed down their U.S. arcade division. But yeah, and actually there's a guy who is trying to open an arcade in San Mateo, right by where Capcom headquarters were, and I just gave him three of my old arcade boards just because I don't plug them in as much as I should, you know. So I just gave them to him and said, you know, plug them into the arcade. But I'm super supportive of that kind of stuff where I can be. Really, really love that kind of atmosphere. And the arcades that have survived here in America have really done a good job of sort of managing their community and bringing people in and showing them how fun it can be.
Awesome. I'm totally blown away that you did that. You gave that guy your... What, do you know what games it was? What boards do you let him have?
It was Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Alpha 1, and Alpha 2. Alpha 1 is not a great game, but Alpha 2 is I really like.
I like Alpha 1. I like the way the hidden characters are unlocked, and I like Dan. He's a little bit different in Alpha 1, so I like them all.
I used to play Autoblock on Alpha 1.
What did you say, Topher?
I said there's no soccer on Alpha 1, so it doesn't. It's automatically not as good as Alpha 2.
Wow. You're really hung up on, like, these two, like, Hinata.
I just came on, really, to wave around my fanboy stick and demand more rival schools and that Sakura grow up in Street Fighter V.
Mm.
And then I'm out. Not really.
Oh,
message
wow,
delivered. It was like the payload has been launched.
That's half true.
Hinata and old Sakura.
Speaking of rival schools, people do want... wholly original new Capcom fighting games. That's one of the questions we got. If there's any possibility, whether it be 2D or 3D or some hybrid, people want new Capcom characters and new Capcom fighting games. You see anything like that potentially happening?
Well, we made some kind of moves like that. You know, I mean, obviously there's been steps in those directions. So it's not a foreign idea to Capcom. But, you know, we recently did – this wasn't Capcom characters, but, like, Fate Unlimited Codes, which actually is really – was a great – I played that game in the arcades in Japan, but it came out here on PS2.
I've never heard of that.
PS2.
Oh, seriously?
It's based on the erotic manga, Fate.
Yeah, Fate's Day Night.
You know, they play really well. So it's, you know, if you're interested in just sort of a different flavor of Capcom fighting, it's a 3D game, sort of weapons-based. It's sort of a little like Soul Calibur and a little like Marvel 2, because there's a lot of launching and crazy fireballs and stuff like that. So,
Is it on a 2D plane or a 3D?
It is 3D. It's a 3D game. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's a different flavor of Capcom fighting. But, you know, we tried to do Capcom Fighting All-Stars, which was a game that never actually came out. And then some of those characters ended up in another game, an earlier Onosan game called
Fighters Fight Evolution?
Jam. Here, Jam in Japan. So we've, and, you know, Fighting Jam wasn't a totally new game, had plenty of characters from old games. But we also did, like, Red Earth. I don't know if anyone remembers that, or Warzard.
Oh, sure. Warzard,
yeah. One of the only games that came out on the CPS3 boards back in the arcades. And
yeah,
so basically,
three, right? Yeah,
exactly. And Cyberbots, you know, so we have done, you know, only original fighting games, but they haven't done
well,
very
well.
It's
been a while. I think Star Gladiator was probably the last one I remember, anyway.
Yeah, and that's a fun fact. That game was originally supposed to be a Star Wars game.
Oh, really?
Which is not very well hidden if you kind of look at it.
Yeah, lightsaber, main character, Darth Vader looking. What was his name again?
Yeah, Wookiees and stuff. It's kind of obvious that it's a Street Fighter game when you look back at it, or that it's a Star Wars game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think Tatsunoko versus Capcom. You got Batsu, Alex, Ryu, Morrigan, and other than that, I'm probably forgetting one or two characters, but almost everyone else was completely new for a fighting game. I mean, obviously the Tatsunoko characters were, but that was a whole new version of Mega Man. That was a whole new version of Roll, Saki, Soki, excuse me. Everybody was new. So I don't know what that guy's bitching about.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just saying we made more attempts than you might remember, and the reason you don't remember them is the same reason we're probably, you know,
not going to make.
Yeah, we like sticking with what works. So, you know, we want to do new and innovative stuff, and that happens as well. But you can have new and innovative in a familiar setting as well, and that can make sure the game's able to succeed commercially. You know, it's a commercially viable game, as well as getting some new stuff in there as well.
Awesome. Is there anything you can tease for us about E3? Is there going to be multiple announcements from Capcom at E3? No announcements?
Multiple announcements. There will be announcements. Yeah, actually, what we're announcing at E3 is being debated sort of internally right now. And, you know, some people are pushing for stuff. Other people are like, no, it's too early, blah, blah, blah. So we definitely have some stuff cooking. Whether we'll be able to announce it, I actually, you know, I don't know because we haven't decided yet. Some of it definitely could be announced, but
Could be announced, maybe.
Yes, how's that for an
That's
answer?
As good as it gets. That, at least you didn't say nothing's going to be announced.
Yeah,
that happens every once in a while.
It won't be nothing, and you know, we'll have some more Marvel 3 at that point. So, definitely, at least, you know, this isn't a game we're trying to hide away, so we want to try and get it out there in front of people as much as we can.
Any chance it'll be playable at E3? I mean, you've been playing it, so...
Yeah, so here's the thing with these producers is that they never want to show anybody anything. Like, they're like, no, it's not ready, don't look hideous. And you're like, no, it's not, it's fine, you look great, honey, come on. So, but yeah, they're always hiding it away, and so it's basically up to us to try and coax them into letting other people you know, look at it. So hopefully we'll at least have some great videos. As you said, I've been playing it. It's certainly playable, but obviously, you know, the other thing with these things is having a playable version internally versus having one that you can show publicly is tricky, because basically you have to make a special build, and it's not just a matter of, you know, having only certain characters available or something like that. It's also a matter of making sure the transitional screens look presentable. So basically in the development process, you might not have done things in order. Like you might not have your transition screens, or maybe the select screen doesn't look good, or, you know, but when it's time to have a playable build, you need to have all those elements in place in some form or other. So
well, that's Capcom talking. I mean, I've played playable builds of games where, you know, the debug screen, this is at an event. The debug screen just comes on, and I think it was, what was it? Overlord for the Wii. I was playing that at Comic-Con a couple years ago, and the game just freezes or everything turns upside down, and this Australian guy's like, oh, don't mind that. Yeah, that's fine.
Just Capcom would never do that in a billion years.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
No Japanese producer at Capcom would ever allow that to happen. They would have to commit ritual suicide if that was happening.
Well, it's working. Whatever you guys are doing, however you do it, it's certainly working.
Trying.
Keeping me around. Yeah, absolutely. I feel bad. I forgot the Dead Rising 2 question. Somebody specifically wanted to know if you could talk about whether the time limit stuff from Dead Rising is going to be back with Dead Rising 2 in terms of having to kind of be in a certain place at a certain time all the time, or else it's game over.
I think people will be happy. I think that's the best I could say right now. So that's, man, I am turning into a total D-bag, so I apologize.
No, you're doing awesome. I'm the D-bag.
You got me over the barrel here again.
I know.
The team is very aware of the issues people had from Dead Rising 1. I'll say that for sure. So they know that, and there's plenty of times to just goof around and have fun and, enjoy the creative slaughter of massive amounts of zombies. So you don't have that sort of frantic feeling, I think, because that was the one. So Dead Rising 1 was actually like one of my favorite games. Anyway, but yeah, that was definitely one of its issues was,
right.
You often didn't have the time to feel like you were really could just luxuriate in the way you can in like a Grand Theft Auto or something like that. You know, just sure. Like kick back and kill some zombies and put some sort of bot heads on them and blah, blah, blah.
Right. I mean, you could do that, and then you would find out that because you did that, you're like a bad employee and you're fired. Like, that's how I felt when I played it. That's part of why I like the Wii version a lot, which everyone gives me shit for to this day for liking that game. But I still play it. I still pop it in every once in a while. I love the way it plays like Resident Evil 4, but gives me the Dead Rising feeling.
Yeah, I think we've had the discussion. I mean, this is probably not the best discussion for us to have, but...
That's right. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of going...
No, I'm not complaining to you. I'm just saying, like, yeah, people are, you know, we're arguing with nobody. Like, I think nobody...
Well, Conrad and Topher are being quiet, and that's okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, I mean,
obviously... Conrad and I have talked about that game.
All right, bring it. It's cool.
No, I did play it again recently, actually. I popped it up on my Wii, and I see what he's saying with the Resident Evil 4 interface. I just don't find it to be very fun or challenging.
Yeah, I hear
you. On hard?
Yeah, it's just not. I don't know. I don't feel the threat. I don't feel the threat that I do from the original Dead Rising and the 360. Huh. That constant dread of, oh my god, what's behind me?
Interesting. Because I feel the exact opposite, Conrad.
I'm completely unsurprised.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
sounds like something's about to go down here.
No,
probably not.
We love each other too much for that. But yeah, in the I love Dead Rising on 360, but I wasn't scared of any of the zombies because I could jump over them and just run on their heads, and there was always a weapon nearby I could just beat them to death with. I was only scared of the time limit in the 360 Dead Rising, whereas the Wii game, the zombies run faster and they magically teleport behind you at any time, so I always felt threatened in the Wii game.
Yeah, those are zombie wizards, so that's not magical teleportation. That's by design. They're secret wizards.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I'll buy that. Absolutely.
There you go. Problem solved.
Destructoid exclusive. Thank you.
Zombie wizards confirms Dead Rising Wii.
So I don't know if you can talk about this so much or not, but... Capcom has said that the reason there isn't another Rival Schools game is because of licensing.
Yeah.
Or copyright issues. Can you talk about that at all? Like what specifically that is or?
Well, I can't, but it's not in this case. Here's the reason I can't talk about it. I don't know what I'm talking about. So that is my understanding as well. But I don't really have any specifics as to what the snarl actually is. In
is
some cases, I think it has to do, this is my understanding, so I would say don't quote me on this, but then I shouldn't say it if I wasn't going to be quoted on it. But my understanding is it's the voice acting. The contracts we had for all the voice acting was platform specific, and believe it or not, we don't know who the voice actors were on some of the things because they're not properly credited in the game, and we can't track them down. Like, we don't know. So we don't know where they are to see, because I'm sure they would be happy to, basically we're just trying to give them money. So presumably we could try and track them down, but we're not really sure who they are.
Have you ever announced that publicly?
Record keeping is not so good. What's that?
Well, now you've announced that publicly. I don't know if you have already.
Yeah, so if any of you say you out there in Japan are listening to this American podcast, please call Capcom.
Waiting for mentions of rival schools in foreign language. Just keying on that. Yes, we want you to identify yourselves. I don't even know how we would identify them after they've identified themselves. And
I just identified myself,
crazy, but I think that's actually at least related to one of the issues. So I don't know if that's the whole issue.
Because
I could be completely wrong about this and crossing my streams as far as remembering stories, but I believe that's it, is that the voice acting would have to be paid for again, and we don't know who to pay or how to get those rights.
Could you just pay a man who called you, in a couple of hours, who sounds a lot like me?
Yeah.
And a woman who sounds kind of like me, but, who maybe smokes a lot.
But Capcom owns the rival school's characters, though, right?
That is correct. It's just that we don't. Yeah, the way the rights were, the way the contracts were done, apparently was sort of very specific to different platforms. So if you want to release the game on a new platform, you have to pay people again, and that's the problem, is we don't know who those people
are. So it's an issue of we're probably not going to see a Rival Schools 1 or 2 Justice Gokken ported anywhere.
Yeah.
Like to XBLA, but it's not completely impossible that there could be a new, Rival Schools 3.
Right. My understanding is right now that it would actually be easier to do a Rival Schools 3 than it would be to port those other two, even though that's what people want, the ports.
Could be done.
Yeah.
And it might be done. For all we know, you're doing it right now. We can't.
That is actually – that's what I'm doing on my other tab. Myself and new Rival Schools 3. Yeah. It was I can't remember. One of your readers was – you sent me over some of those questions, was asking what game I personally would want to see independent of everything if I could just –
oh, that's right.
Make any new Capcom game. And I was thinking about it, and the reason I brought it up is because it made me super happy, because I had to say, it's kind of an unfair question, because my first, five answers to that question have all actually happened since I started working at Capcom. So I got a Street Fighter 4, I got a Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I got an 8-bit Mega Man, which, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
Dead Rise 2, all this amazing stuff. Has actually happened since I started working at Capcom. I mean, I'd love to see another Strider, everybody else, but
yes.
Well, maybe not everybody.
Well, could you just say very loudly for me one time that you would like a Rival Schools 3? just say that sentence.
I would like a Rival Schools 3.
There you go.
All right.
Awesome.
Now it's gonna happen.
It makes us feel better. It does feel good to know that Capcom thinks the way Capcom fans think, because you don't always get that, especially from Japanese developers. You don't get a sense of where they're coming from, not because they don't think like us. We just never get to find that out due to translation error.
And then they can't, or when they think they're thinking like us, they're definitely not. They're thinking about it's some very weird interpretation of what we're thinking. So, yeah, no, there's we're trying to stay on that path, but no, I think Capcom has never been sort of more aware of sort of what the fans are thinking and trying to be responsive to those in some pretty direct kind of ways. So hopefully we'll have some more exciting stuff that I can back up that statement with soon. We'll be able to talk about something like that soon.
Awesome. I have a quick one. Did you know that Frank West kind of has a cameo in Left 4 Dead 2? I just found that out a few hours ago.
Yeah, really? I believe I just learned that today as well. I didn't know that. I think they can, as far as I know, we didn't, there was no discussion between the two companies, so. I think they just did it, but it's parody, so I think they can do it.
I think it's cool. I thought it was funny. So
yeah, me too. I just assumed
it was hammer out a film. Helicopter not coming. Zombies are too fast. Something like that. So.
That's right. Yeah.
I thought it was really cute. So I don't know. Maybe if they owe us some money or something like that, then maybe I don't think it's cute and send in the lawyers. But
well, I find it interesting. Everyone,
I think they can do it.
People love Frank West. Like, the main thing I've been hearing about Dead Rising 2 is like, oh, it looks awesome, but where's Frank West? Like, it's pretty much across the board. And Frank has appeared in, what, Lost Planet 1 and 2 and Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. So what do you make of the fascination people have with
he's
Frank?
He's got to make a lap through all of our games. So he's going to be appearing in Puzzle Fighter. He's going to be making appearance.
What? Say? What? Yeah, what? Say Puzzle Fighter? What?
Is there gonna, yeah. Another that Puzzle Fighter? Could it happen? Did he? Well, yeah, Topher more than me, but we both love Puzzle Fighter.
Oh, that is probably in my top two favorite games ever made.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes me very happy. Yeah, we're nuts for Puzzle Fighter, and actually it was we used to have Puzzle Fighter tournaments in the office every single day because we were so nuts for it. But
are you guys hiring?
Well, it depends if you're good. If you're good, we don't need you because
I can beat expert mode with Dan without using a continuum.
I don't want any competition.
Jesus, seriously?
Yeah, I love that game. But I don't know. Frank is going to make it into other games, I'm sure, just because it's also one of those things I think where, for better or for worse, Japan has understood that the West likes Frank. So maybe that's why he's called Frank West. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Like,
really?
It's a Western-facing character.
Yeah.
And so, you know, rightly or wrongly, Japan is convinced that Joe Sixpack here in America loves him, goddamn Frank West. And he will be making his appearances in as many games as they can get him into. I don't think that's right, but, you know, who knows what Dead Rising 2 has in store. So, yeah, it's definitely not a game about Frank, but he's still in the same universe, so who knows?
Right. Huh. So I'm guessing Frank West is going to be in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 then.
That's is that your guess?
Guessing. Yeah, that's my out loud guess. Right. You don't have to comment on that. You don't.
I wish I could punish people somehow and be like, because you guessed that, now it won't happen. Thank you. I would love to say that. You've asked me too many times, and now the thing that you were really hoping for won't happen. I'm going to cancel that. It was going to happen.
It's like you're the father of, like, at least a million demanding young men and some women who are constantly telling you, I want that. I want that thing in the store. I want Frank West. Oh
yeah.
God,
and it's, you know, Jesus. I know where they're coming from, so I don't get mad. Except for this one. There's one guy who actually is, I think, mentally challenged, and I'm
is
not.
Is that me? Are you talking about me, aren't you?
Yes, I am actually talking about you. He has my desk phone number, though, and he calls me literally every day. And once in a while, for kicks, I'll just pick up the phone because he does the same thing every time I answer, which is he just literally starts rattling off character names that he would like to see in the next video game. I swear to God, it's like the internet has become like a very small part of the internet has become sentient, and just like fires itself. But I don't want to talk. I shouldn't laugh too much about it because I think the guy definitely has a challenge. He might be maybe severely autistic or something like that.
I've
but,
got plenty of challenges, and when people talk about me, especially if I call them nonstop, you just got to take it. You know, you take what you get. You got to respect the guy. He's a human being just like you, and yeah.
I just like that people care. You know, like I mean, what if nobody cared what characters we put in the game? Like that's.
No,
like,
that's true.
You know, no one cares about any of your crappy games or characters. So if that's the alternative, I'd happy to hear this every single time. And I do, you know, I know where people are coming from, and I have those same kind of excitements and passions about all the characters. So it's just that, haha, I work at Capcom, so I can push for stuff a little better than you. But no, well, that's why I got the job, so I could finally make all my dreams come true. But no, I do know where people are coming from, so I never get too bothered by any of that.
You're living the dream, Seth. You're living the dream.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
I don't know if... I don't know if the dream is a Holiday Inn and middle seat on 12-hour flights every couple of days, but anyway, yeah, it could be worse. It could be worse.
Oh, you'll look back on it and not only laugh, but who knows what you'll do, actually.
Those were the best of times. Yeah, I didn't even know it.
And that's episode 6 of Bit Transmission. Huge thanks to our special guest, Seth Killian, for appearing on the show. Additional thanks to Topher Cantler. Don't forget to check out the journalism show at melonsoda.com. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes or at bittransmission.com. Follow the show on Twitter at bittransmission and send your death threats, emails, and comments to bits@bittransmission.com. Next episode, we'll be joined by Alex Noose of Gaijin Games to discuss their BitTrip series and other frivolities. And we'll be responding to your questions and comments. See you next time.
And transmission.